Jim, I get to serve Jesus here with you. I get to do that because God's called me, just as he's called each one of you. And all of us has a reason for why we come. And I pray that your reason isn't because, oh, Pastor Jim is here and I'm going to hear a sermon, but it's that God's called you here and that you're going to hear a word from him. And I pray that I decrease, that he might increase. Continuing the series on looking at life in this thing called grace, life in this thing called the church, as we mature in our lives and we go from stage to stage, there are differences in the way that we see the world, the way that we interpret the world, the way that we interpret Scripture and see Scripture as we grow in our walk of life. And today we're going to talk about one of the most challenging of all of those areas of our lives, young adulthood. So come with me into Scripture as we look at this book of Psalms. 20 verses, but they are so meaningful. Hear these words as God speaks to you through words written so long ago. Psalm 119. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to you to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love. Lord, teach me your decrees. Do good to your servant according to your word, Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust in your commands. Before, I was afflicted. I went astray. But now, I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. We have heard your scripture read. Now may it be proclaimed according to your will and yours alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about myself and my journey through life, but I want to start with these words, and I hope you keep them. God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. God only has children. Now, why do I say that? And that's not my phrase. I've heard that from other places. God has no grandchildren. We each come to God and are received as children. There is a temptation in life, though, to rest upon our parents' faith and never make it our own. And if we do that, then it's like God has you as a grandchild and not as a child. God has no grandchildren. When I was growing up, I was very strong in my faith because my mother dragged me to church every single Sunday. We never missed, and she dragged me to choir practice and dragged me to youth meetings, dragged me to all of those things. But there comes a time in every person's life where they reach that magical age where their parents no longer have the authority to tell them where to go and what to do. They reach that point in your life where you can tell your mother or father, "I don't feel like doing whatever it is you want me to do." And there's absolutely nothing besides, you know, those tools in the mother's toolbox to try to urge or cajole or push your children to do what they need to do. But there's a point in their lives, if you're a parent who has older children, you've experienced this. They either jump out of the nest or you give them a little shove or a push out of the nest, and they've got to go live their lives. And you hope, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray some more, because there's that little piece of your heart that you've ripped out of your chest and nurtured and lifted up and raised, and then that piece of your heart has to fly, has to go out into the world, has to do these things, has to become a mature, responsible adult. And is it any more easy, moms and dads who have grown children, than it was when they were kids? Is it any easier now that they're out on their own? You're still praying for them every night. You're still hoping for the best for them. You still want them to come and be a part of the kingdom here. But seems that no matter how much you push, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you pray, that young adult, that person who is in that age of new freedom, oftentimes rejects just about everything there is about you because they want to go strike out on their own. And oftentimes, one of the very things that they reject is your faith. They reject your church. They reject the most important things. And there's that desire. If I could just grab them by the lapels and drag them in, if they could be like they were when they were little kids, when I put them in the car and towed them to church and there was nothing they could do about it. But we know that once we've let them fly, it's got to be their own faith. It's got to be their own. They can't rest on the faith of the parents any longer. Now, many of us, if you're here, you're my age or older, you know, there was a period in your life where you experienced that. Your mother or father said, "Okay, time to go," and out the door. I had my own little apartment in a town called Crucible. It was a pit. It was horrible, but I needed that. I needed to strike out on my own to grow up. And I had big dreams, big hopes, and one of the things that happens when you reach that age is that you realize that life isn't all sunshine and rainbows and flowers and puppy dogs, and it can beat you down. It can really do some harm to you. But if you're tethered to the church, you still have that lifeline, so that when things go crazy, you still have something to hold on to, and you can be pulled. You can hold on to that faith. But it's at some point got to become your own. It's got to become the faith that you own. I spent a good 10 years of continuous, constant church attendance. And there are very few memories of that I have of particular moments. Because for most of that time, I was just a church attendee. I was going to church. I was even doing some activities, but my heart was really not in it because I hadn't yet made the faith that I had learned as a child my own faith. Now, I had a reason for that. I knew that God was calling me into ministry, and I knew as soon as I made that faith my own, instead of just resting on inertia of my upbringing, God was going to call me back and be in ministry. And sure enough, he did. Maybe that's my journey. That's my experience. I tell you what, I wanted to be successful at anything else. And so I got into my corporate world. And I made it to the point where my sales in my store were the highest increase of any other store. So they sent me on a boat along with Kristen. And we went out to Bermuda. And on that trip, I said, boy, I've done it all. I've made it to the top of this business. What's next, Lord? And that's when he got me, snatched me up. We have to come to that point in our lives where we say, what's next, Lord? How do I make this faith that I've lived as a child get into my heart and become mine so that it's my faith, that I own it? Jesus tells a story of two sons. And we often call it the parable of the prodigal son because we put all the emphasis on the one son. But it's really a parable about two sons. And let me remind you of it. The father has two sons. The younger says, I'm out of here. I've had enough. Give me my share of the inheritance. Basically, I wish you were dead so that I could go and live my life. And the father gives him his inheritance, and off he goes. And what does he do with it? Blows it all. Thinking, this is the life for me. But there's that key verse in the passage where he says that son came to his senses. He came to himself and realized, boy, I screwed up. But he still has that tether and he still comes home and the father receives him. But there's the other son who, when the other son returns, the prodigal returns, says, you again. What are you doing back here? I don't want anything to do with you. The son's heart was so hard that he just couldn't rejoice when his brother returned. You see, the son who stayed lived in his father's house, but he never claimed his own faith. He was living off the inertia of his father's faith. And so when it was time to make a tough call, he didn't have the faith that he owned in his own heart to be able to welcome back his brother. Where the brother who had gone out, he realized, I can't live off of my father's faith anymore. I have to own this faith of mine. I have to own my life. I have to take charge. I have to be a man. I need to go back home and start over again. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we have to go back so that we can be recharged and resent. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. You see, if any of you are in the situation where you say, boy, I've done screwed up, or you're saying, boy, I don't know if I own my faith. Am I just living off of inertia? Am I just going through the motions? I show up in church and I just show up. It doesn't feel like I'm really doing anything. Well, I got good news. See, God's doing something. God's working on you. God still has something to say into your life. You're never wasting a Sunday when you come to church. You're never wasting a Sunday when you are praying. You're never wasting a minute when you are praising God. All of that adds up. All of that adds up till you reach a point where it becomes yours. Where it becomes your experience and your reason. And yes, that may look different than what your parents thought. It may look, maybe they were conservative and you're liberal. Maybe they were liberal and you're conservative. Maybe you are, you know, a Methodist and they decide to go to the Catholic Church or to, you know, but the journey is where we learn. The journey is where we grow. The people in Egypt, when they were slaves, made it to the promised land in a year. Moses got them there in a year. But they weren't ready. And so they had to go back into the wilderness for another 39 years. But in that 39 years, they realized who God is. They grew in their faith. And the story of their ancestors, that became their story. So they were ready to go into the promised land and become God's people. God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. Take hold of your story. Enjoy your journey and see how God's working in your life. And let that become yours. Own it. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.